According to tradition, current among the natives of Puerto Rico, there is an island off the Bahamas of the Bahamas group, which had in its presence a marvelous fountain whose waters produce perpetual youth. And supposedly, according to myth, a Spanish navigator by the name of Juan Ponce de Leon, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, sought long and hard for this fountain, yet he labored in vain. His exploration for this fountain by some of the natives in Puerto Rico could have been described as an eager and diligent search, though unsuccessful. How might your week change, or my week change, if it had been discovered that the Fountain of Youth was in Lower Michigan? How might your week look? Just one sip, would not only restore to you your youth, but it would bring healing to the body and to the mind. I suppose we'd probably fill up our vehicles with loved ones, and we would go that they might have a sip. People from all over the world would flock to the great state of Michigan, wouldn't they? We would make an eager and diligent attempt to get our hands on this resource. Well, this morning we're looking at a resource. We're picking up in our series on the faith rest life. And it is true that a fountain of youth would be highly sought after, yet there is a resource for the believer today in Christ, which is so much greater for living life, yet many are apt to neglect it. The resource that we've been studying has many different names. In my notes from Frontier on the book of Hebrews, I took over 10 years ago now, it referred to this resource as submission rest. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 3, verse 18, you'll find there, God's rest. But for the sake of our study this morning, we're going to refer to this resource as the faith rest life. And again, I just want to keep putting that definition out before you. It's not a perfect definition, but it is the definition that we've been using for this series and our time together. And that definition is that the faith rest is the perfect inner peace in the presence of outer adversity. It is understanding that I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in his promise of eternal security. But then as I live the Christian life, I am daily making the decision to trust in God. That as I live the Christian life, I'm daily making the decision to trust his word. And that as I live the Christian life, I'm daily making the decision to trust in his promises. We're going to see one of those promises today. The faith rest life. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask that you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 1 through 11. And I trust that you took me up on that challenge last Sunday to read those verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 11 is where we will be today. And by way of reminder, this book, the writer of this book, was writing to, in this context, Jewish believers in this church age of grace. And the application that will be drawn from this text, specifically from its direct context, is for the believer in Christ. So we want to make note of that. And before we begin reading this text, I want to point out here that we are jumping right into a warning passage this morning. If you've ever systematically studied the book of Hebrews, you will know that there are five warning passages that the writer of Hebrews gives. And I have them listed up here for you this morning. Number one, in Hebrews chapter 2, we find the danger of drifting, the danger of drifting away from clear biblical grace age teaching. In Hebrews chapter 3 and in chapter 4, he mentions the danger of disbelief, where believers can potentially live life without the blessing of entering into his rest. Then we have the danger of degeneracy in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, that believers will not go on to maturity. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews speaks to the dangers of despising or that of willful sin in the Christian life. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer warns of the dangers of departing, where a believer can actually get to a point of denial in the Christian life. And of course, as you look at all these dangers that are laid out there for the believer, they can be avoided if we would simply choose to faith rest in the Lord. Now, in the last sermon from the series on faith rest, we studied Psalm 95, which is quoted in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. And at the end of chapter 3 in Hebrews, along with what David writes in Psalm 95, the conclusion was that the Israelites under Moses failed to enter into that faith rest life. Look with me, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? In Psalm 95, God says of that generation, some strong words, verse 10. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. They were not able to enter into this rest because of unbelief, which is how Hebrews chapter 3 ends. And in view of the fact that God's people did not enter into his rest because of unbelief, the writer of Hebrews continues this thought for the believer in Christ today. Which brings us to our text that we're going to be in the rest of this morning, Hebrews chapter 4, 1 through 11. From this passage of Scripture, in view of the fact that God's people in the Old Testament failed to faith rest because of unbelief, the writer of Hebrews now gives six attributes that relate directly to the faith rest life. Six attributes that relate directly to the faith rest life. So in our time together, we're going to begin studying these six attributes that will hopefully help us to see that we can enter into the faith rest life today. And so we're going to begin with that first attribute. And that first attribute, we'll find it in the first few verses. It is that faith resting is a blessing for any believer that can be entered into at any time. Faith resting is a blessing for any believer that can be entered into at any time. I want us to begin. We're going to read verses 1 through the first part of verse 3 together. Verse 1 says, therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Well, what is the promise? According to verse 2, there is a promise here for the believer. What is it? The promise is that of the faith rest life, that it can be entered into, and it can be entered into in a moment. It can be entered into today. It is a blessing for any believer that we can enter into it at any time. The writer of Hebrews says, let us fear the potential reality of not entering into the faith rest life. That Greek word there for fear is phobel, and in most instances where it is used in the sense of feeling anxious or apprehensive about something, about a situation. However, phobel can also be used in the sense of regarding something with reverence, respect, or simply to be aware of something. For instance, we see this word, phobel, mentioned in Matthew chapter 9, verse 8, where Jesus heals a paralyzed man. But when the crowds saw this, the miracle, they were awestruck. Phobel is that Hebrew or that Greek word, phobel. They were awestruck. This doesn't mean they were feeling apprehensive about what had happened, but that instead those who saw this miracle were filled with feelings of respect and reverence toward the situation. Peter uses this Greek word in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, when he writes, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God. Again, that Greek word, phobel. Honor the king. Since we are to fear God, we are also to fear his promises in the sense that there should be this feeling of respect and reverence towards the fact that we can and should enter into the faith rest life. Now, we know that the gospel is good news and that the gospel encompasses the message of salvation. However, you'll know in verse 2, you'll see the good news mentioned. It's not referring to the salvation message through faith in Jesus Christ. Instead, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the benefits of entering into the promises that have been made available to us by God. And we know this because of the context here. The context in chapters 3 and 4 have not been on salvation. It's been on the life of the believer. So this warning passage on the danger of disbelief is for the believer. It's not for the unbeliever. And it is good news when we see the promise. It is good news. For all of us, those of us in the sanctuary and perhaps listening online, the good news is this, that Jesus Christ saw our need. He came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for the sin of the world, rose again from the dead, offering life to any who will believe in him. But for the believer, for those of us who have made the decision already to trust Christ as Savior, there is an unlimited supply of ramifications and blessings that are ours in Christ. In the same way that we entered into a righteous standing with God on the basis of faith in His Son, we can now, as believers, enter into the promises that are also made available to us on the basis of faith. Look again with me at verse 2. Why didn't the promise of the faith rest life profit the Israelites? Well, they didn't profit from this promise, and you'll see it here. Because why? Because it was not united by faith in those who heard. I like what Robert Thyme says here. He says, the analogy is obvious. The promises of the word are only profitable when they are mixed with faith. This involves two principles: knowing the promises and believing them. The promises can be learned by study and memorization, but they can only be appropriated by faith. One thing that the church today in the New Testament has in common with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament is this: we have promises given to us just as they had promises given to them. Some of the promises might look different, but we have been given promises by God. And the key to this passage is understanding that there is a very important connective tissue that runs throughout these attributes, and that important tissue is time. In our first attribute, we have seen that the blessing of the faith rest life can be entered into at any time. However, in the second attribute, we find that faith rest has been available since the beginning of creation. It has been available since the beginning of creation. We see that in the second part of verse 3 into verse 4. If you'll read with me, it says, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. It is to be noted that within the creation account, God himself rested from his work, not because he was tired, but because his creation had been completed. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says that with considerable enrichment of thought, the author then linked God's Sabbath rest at the time of creation with the rest that the Israelites missed in the desert. Well, that brings us to our third attribute. And in our third attribute, we find faith rest was very rarely ever entered into by Israel in the Old Testament, verses 5 through 6. Continue reading with me. Verse 5 says, and again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. Most of Israel failed to enter into this rest. When? In the Old Testament. In fact, out of that wilderness generation, how many were able to go into the promised land? Moses was able to see the promised land with his eyes, but who got to go in? Two. Joshua and Caleb. Out of an entire generation, it wasn't the majority, it was the minority that got to enter into it. Now, if we observe this attribute, then we can safely conclude that because we are working in opposition to the world, to Satan, to the flesh, the reality is, it may be very true that few of us have appropriated by faith the faith rest life. I told Pastor Brad recently that if I could have changed anything from the time that I've trusted in Christ till now, just in my spiritual life, it would have been this. I would have worried less and trusted more. Did you ever know that in the center of a hurricane, there's a spot? It's calm and it's quiet. It's right in the middle. Listen to me. In the hurricane called life, we may be battling physical problems. In this hurricane called life, we may be battling relational problems. In this hurricane called life, we may be battling financial problems. And then to top it off, we may have fears for the direction of this nation, for our kids, our grandkids, what the future will hold for them. Is God not on the throne? He is. There is a place for you to be, for me to be, in the middle of it all. It's in the eye of the storm. We are called to be in that calm, quiet place, trusting God. What does verse 3 say? Don't miss it. For we who have believed what? For we who have believed enter that rest. David understood what it meant to faith rest. He writes in Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. So what about the wilderness generation under Moses? Well, for 40 years, God provided everything. God provided for delivered them from the clutches of Pharaoh in Egypt. He provided their escape through the Red Sea. He provided the blood of the atoning lamb. He provided guidance for them day by day. God provided navigational aids by night in the pillar of fire. He provided shoes on their feet and clothes to wear. He provided knowledge in times of war and deliverance from enemies, problems, and difficulties. For 40 years, God was faithful day after day. But the simple fact is, when you study the Israelite history, they complained. We've seen that in the life of Moses. They complained. They were bitter. They so often forgot about the faithfulness of the Lord, and they forgot about his provision. And as a result, time and time again, what we find in the scriptures describing this generation, if we could sum it up into one word, I think misery would probably be the one word. They were miserable people under Moses. They were the people of God, yet they were continually miserable because they would not enter into this promise, the promise of the faith rest life. They failed to trust God and they failed to lean on him. Miserable. Miserable. Do you know of any believers like that today? Seems as though the whole world is out to get them. Seems as though there is a problem in anything and in everyone else. Perhaps you're here today, you're listening online, and if you're honest with yourself, you would say that your life has lacked joy and peace. If that is you, then you need to understand that faith rest was made available during the days of David. During the days of David, verses 7 and 8. This is an important attribute on the faith rest life to understand, because David was the author of that 95th psalm, a psalm that connects the faith rest life to a type of worship that is pleasing to God. Verse 7 says, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before. Are we familiar with these verses yet? Three times the writer of Hebrews quotes Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8, twice in chapter 3, once right here in Hebrews chapter 4, so that it becomes painfully obvious that this promise of Sabbath rest or the faith rest life continued on into the day of David. Why is that significant? Because there was at least a 500-year gap between the days of David and when the Israelites were restricted from entering into the promised land, except for Joshua and Caleb. So read with me verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. We know that some of the Jews did enter into the promised land with Joshua. However, if this promise of entering God's rest had depleted with Joshua, then God would not have offered it again in the days of David. The promise would have shriveled up 500 years earlier. But brother and sister in Christ, I want you to know something. The promise of the faith rest life has not shriveled up. It is here for us. It's here for the taking. We can enter into it. The promise is on the table. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Are you struggling to find anything good come out of anything in life? Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Perhaps a miserable week, are you lacking joy and peace in your marriage, in your relationships with others? Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Are you working through a perplexing conundrum of sorts, trying to find an answer, and it's brought frustration upon your life? Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. God says, my rest is available for you today. And that brings us to the fifth attribute that we find in the faith rest life. Faith rest has always been available and is available for the believer today. Verses 9 and 10. It's that simple. Look with me. Verse 9, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. There is only one condition for entering into the faith rest life, and it's found in verse 3. Don't miss it. For we who have believed enter that rest. It is the eye of the storm or the center of the hurricane where we will find peace. All we have to do is step into it by faith, appropriate this promise on the basis of faith. Verses 9 and 10 very clearly show us that this promise is on the table for the believer today. Unlike Juan Ponce de Leon, who had eagerly and diligently searched for the fountain of youth, only to come up empty-handed, the believer who obediently obeys the command to enter through the promise of the faith rest life will be satisfied. You will find peace in the storm. Unlike the fountain of youth, the faith rest life is available for you and I today. Let me tell you, as a pastor, everything that I've experienced by way of strength, ability, stability, has been given to me by God's gracious provision, his rest. One pastor said that without God's rest, we would have absolutely nothing in the spiritual life. Without the promise of the faith rest life, God's provision, I, Wes Marshner, would hardly be able to function as a husband. I would hardly be able to function as a father, as a pastor. Instead, what I have found in 11 years of full-time ministry, going on 12, if I count 2 years in Arizona, it's that the Lord has given me wonderful and terrifying opportunities to trust him. And you know what? He hasn't let me down, not once. In fact, he has a perfect track record of providing this faith rest to me and fulfilling his end of the bargain. He has. He has a perfect track record, which is that as I appropriate by faith his rest, he then fills me with joy and peace in the middle of it. Here's my testimony. You can choose to walk by faith in the center of the storm, or you can try to figure it all out on your own, in your own strength. The problem is, believers are either diligently entering into that rest, or they are living disobediently before God in unbelief, as believers. You can choose to figure this thing out on your own, or you can rest in knowing that God has it under control. Verse 11 starts out with, Therefore, in view of the fact that God's rest is on the table today for the believer in Christ, we read, let us be diligent to enter that rest, believer, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Again, the context here is not of salvation, it is of the Christian life, that we are to be those who step into the promise of rest made available to us, and we are to do so with diligence. Why? Because the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I want to try to figure it out on my own, in my own strength. The idea behind the type of diligence that we are to have is key. There is to be this impatient expectancy or intense desire for something. I notice right around Christmas time, my kids, they get excited to open up the gifts under the tree, right? We could hardly ever get to Christmas. We end up opening them on Christmas Eve. I can imagine that the Lord is glorified when His children choose to rest in His provision of the faith rest life. As a parent, I enjoy watching my kids open up those gifts. The Lord has given this promise here. It is a gift to the believer. We can appropriate it by faith. Well, this morning we've seen six attributes that relate to the promise of the faith rest life made available to the believer in Christ. And from this text, it becomes abundantly clear, and I would encourage you to write this down in your notes, it is urgent that we enter the blessing of the faith rest life today. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. Did you wake up this morning anxious to step into the rest that God has provided for you? Are you willing to step into His rest right now by believing that His promise has been made readily available to you in this moment? Because the writer of Hebrews is writing from a perspective saying, hey, look, I have entered into this rest. It's glorious beyond description. Come on into it. Come on into the middle of the storm with me. It's great. Come on in. Listen, the faith rest life is better than the fountain of youth. Believer, make the decision right now to walk into the faith rest life today. Surrender to Him. Give your problems over to Him. He'll do a much better job of it, of those problems, than you will. And listen, if you're here today without Christ, I don't have to remind you how crazy this world is getting. And this world is getting crazier and crazier by the day because of sin. We live in a broken world. The Scripture says that we've all sinned. We've all missed the mark of God's perfection. God is holy. He cannot be in the presence of sin. And so because of our sin, we've been separated from God, and the penalty for our sin is to spend eternity in a place called hell. And that's very sobering, but God saw our need, and He provided a way. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for the sin of the world, and to rise again. And if you would make the decision today to trust Christ as Savior, you will be saved, gloriously saved. That is a promise that you can hang on to. Believer, that promise of eternal life is glorious. This promise of the faith rest life is for the believer. It is glorious. We can enter into it. If you're here today and you're honest with yourself, perhaps this week has been miserable for you. I need to tell you, it doesn't need to be that way. Make the decision, believer, to enter into the faith rest life right now. It's here for you. Be diligent. Enter into it on the basis of faith. I also believe that there are some of you here today who have entered into this faith rest life. Perhaps you are here today and you're experiencing the joy of what it is. If that is you, and you've been enjoying this gracious provision for the believer, my word to you this morning would be this: be careful. Be careful, or see to it that you do not step out of the faith rest life. Continue to be diligent, because it can happen in a moment. The pressures of life come in. They come bearing down in on us, and we choose to worry, to be anxious, rather than to rely on the one who is on the throne. May this week be characterized by our eagerness and diligence in entering this rest that has been provided for us. Oh, it is sweet. Joshua and Caleb, they entered into the rest that God provided. They got to see the promised land. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for these moments. I want to thank you for the promises that we have in Scripture. For the believer, they are tremendous. Lord, thank you for the promise of eternal security, but then that of faith resting, that we can enter into your rest, that we can come to you at any moment in the week, in the day. We can offer up to you our concerns and cares, and you take those. Father, I give you praise that we have that privilege to be able to do that, to be able to come to you in prayer. Thank you for that wonderful opportunity. Lord, if any here today don't know you as Savior, I pray that they would see that they have a great need. Help them to see that. And that there is a great Savior, Jesus Christ, who took our sin upon himself, went to a cross, and rose again, offering new life to any who would believe in him. Father, we thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for these promises that are before us now. In your name we pray. Amen.